Lord's Day number 15 in the Heidelberg Catechism. There are questions numbers 37, 38, and 39. And then I will read the question. Will you please respond with the answer? Question number 37. What do you understand by the word suffered? That all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, he bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race, in order that by his suffering, as the only atoning sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That he, being innocent, might be condemned by the temporal judge and thereby deliver us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Is there anything more in his having been crucified than if he had suffered some other death? Yes, for thereby I am assured that he took upon himself the curse which lay upon me, because the death of the cross was accursed of God. When we think about our Lord Jesus Christ and we do confess that word suffered, typically I think our mind goes to the cross, and rightly so. For there we see the full burden of wrath exposed upon our Lord Jesus Christ, suffering that he endured, which was both physical, mental, spiritually, covenantal, you name it. He experienced it. But I like what the Catechism has to reminds us, and that is that all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, notice that all the time he lived on earth, he suffered. He suffered in the womb of Mary. He suffered as an infant. He suffered as a child. He suffered as a young adult. He suffered as a carpenter's son. He suffered as a man, and he suffered on the cross. Why? Because he was the sinless Son of God. He was God the Son, one who is walking among a sin-cursed world, among rebellious sinners who were at war with God. And so he suffered as he interacted with others in their sin. He suffered in dealing with unbelief, even among his own disciples. He suffered in being despised and rejected of men. His own people, his own family didn't believe in him. His own people rejected him and said, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. And so Jesus experienced what we deserve, as it says. He bore in his body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. Now, what this is not saying is that all of the sins of all mankind were fully removed through the death of Christ. I like what the commentator to this catechism, Ursinus, who actually wrote it, what he has to say. The question arises, if Christ has made satisfaction for all, then all ought to be saved, but not all are saved. Therefore, he did not make a perfect satisfaction. So that's the complaint. And the answer to that is what we find in the catechism, is that he did. And he goes on to answer this objection. Christ satisfied for all as it respects the sufficiency of the satisfaction which he made, but not as to it respects with the application thereof. Okay, so the point is, Jesus Christ's death on the cross was sufficient for all mankind. He represented all mankind. He was that sacrifice for mankind. But the application of his death, what is particular? He goes on to say, first, by his own righteousness, and secondly, by making satisfaction for our sins, each of which is most perfect. But the satisfaction is made ours by an application, which is also twofold, the form by which is made by God when he justifies us on account of the merit of his Son and brings it to pass that we cease from sin, the later is accomplished by us through faith. For we apply unto ourselves the merit of Christ when by a true faith we are fully persuaded that God, for the sake of the satisfaction of his Son, remits unto us our sin. Without this application, the sanctification, or the satisfaction, of Christ is of no benefit to us. And so the author understands, and I think it helps us to understand when we read that, what exactly we mean by stating that the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. The next statement says, and why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? And I like this statement in that it says, he being innocent might be condemned. Notice those two words brought together. He being innocent might be condemned. Notice that. Well, wait a second. If he's innocent, why should he be condemned? As a matter of fact, as we read the gospel accounts, I think it's four times that Pilate says this man is innocent. This man is innocent. He's nothing done anything worthy of death. This man is innocent. And then he condemned him to death. If he had the authority to do it, but it wasn't the right thing to do because the man was innocent. But yet, he being innocent, even the temporal judge said he's innocent. He's without fault. He is without sin in this matter. He was condemned. He delivered to this judgment. And it says, thereby delivered us from the severe judgment of God to which we are exposed. We are guilty before God apart from Christ. There is no innocence in us. And so therefore there is that exchange. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Is there anything else? Why did he have to be crucified? Many years ago, I had an interesting conversation with the owner of a Christian radio station, and he asked me, well, how are people saved? And I said, the active and passive obedience of Christ. And he started saying, well, I don't know what all that's about. He says, all I know is Christ crucified. So, well, that sounds like Paul. Paul said the same thing. All I know is Christ crucified. That's a good answer. And I wanted to ask him, well, what does it mean that he was crucified? Can you explain that to me? In other words, the point is, we can say that word, but what does it mean? Why the cross? Why some other kind of death? Why not execution by beheading? Or why not some other way? Why did it have to be by the cross? And the answer is because of the curse. God declared is cursed the one that's hung on a tree. He became accursed of us who were accursed in order for us to be forgiven and accepted in the beloved. And so it had to be signified. It had to be shown that he suffered. The death of Christ on the cross was an accursed of God. And so I understand that he has taken all my sin and all my guilt and all the consequences of my sin upon himself. And how do I know? Because I look at the cross. And I see at the cross, and I think this is important, is the cross, does it have a body on there? And the answer is no, it's empty. I go to the tomb. And I look, and is there anyone in the tomb? Is there a body in the tomb? And the answer is no, it's empty. An empty cross, an empty tomb. I'm forgiven for my sins, and I am raised from the dead with Christ. How do I know? Because he's seated in heavenly places, and I'm there with him. I'm accepted in the beloved. So we rejoice in an empty cross. We rejoice in an empty tomb, because we are reconciled to God. Amen? Amen.